When I was growing up, it was a lot of fun to play make-believe. I could be anything I wanted to be. I could have any kind of friend I could dream up. But eventually, I had to grow up. At some point, I had to admit that my make-believe games and imaginary friends weren't real. If, as an adult, I continued to insist that fictitious things were real, my mental health would be brought into question. Let's say I still believed in a 6-foot rabbit who laid candy-filled eggs in people's lawns. You would think I was a French fry short of a Happy Meal. I will admit there is comfort in believing in the imaginary, because reality can be a tough pill to swallow. But there are lines we shouldn't cross. Take the firm belief that mermaids exist, even though there is irrefutable evidence that says they don't. Sailors have sworn for years that they have spotted mermaids jumping in and out of ocean waves. They swear there is an entire race of half-human, half-fish people swimming around the ocean, making friends with dolphins, and throwing little tea parties with the seahorses. P.T. Barnum took advantage of people's obsession with mermaids, not because he believed in them, but because he made a lot of money from it. He laughed all the way to the bank, touring around with what he claimed to be a mummified mermaid called the Fiji Mermaid. Of course, this was no real mermaid, that's for sure. It was the head of a baby monkey sewn to the back of a fish, and then it was covered in paper mache. It used to be that the entire world thought that the Earth was flat. If a person would travel too far, he could fall right off the edge of the Earth. Christopher Columbus faced stiff opposition against his voyage across the ocean blue, partly for this reason. People said, "Chris, you don't want to do that. You're going to sail off the end of the Earth." There are people who believe that the first moonwalk was actually staged and filmed in a Nevada desert, even though we all saw it with our own eyes. Or did we? In 1910, people believed that Halley's Comet marked the end of the world. As far as I can tell, we're still here. Some people believe that the eclipse scheduled to come on April 8th will bring a lot of death and destruction, and we're being advised to get emergency supplies. Well, I'm not holding my breath. I think this will have the same outcome as Halley's Comet in 1910. Many people religiously hold on to an image of angels that are not based in reality. Most angelic images people believe in were the brainchild of artists and poets years after God turned in his final draft of the Bible. We can spot an angel today in any picture. They are usually white, sparkly, beautiful, young, blonde women. The only problem is these angelic images are not the angels that the Bible portrays. If you ever saw a biblical angel, you'd probably put a taser under your bed so you could sleep at night. This is a joke. If you ever see an angel, do not tase it, bro. It might tase you back, and it won't need a taser. Did you know that very few angels have wings? The ones who do have wings have 6, and they need every single one of them to cover their bodies. If some poor unsuspecting soul ever saw one of these angels, they would be blinded at least, incinerated at worst, for they are the seraphim, or what the Bible calls the burning ones. The cutest order of angels might be the cherubim. You might be thinking, "Oh, cute little baby angels." Incorrect. They are described in the Bible as strange, four-headed creatures that include faces of men, eagles, and lions. That ain't no cherub I ever saw on a Christmas card, boy howdy. The most horrible angel in the Bible is the devil. You might say, "He's not an angel." Yes, he is. Read it. If you ask anybody what they believe the devil looks like, you'll get answers like, "He's red, he has horns, he has a pitchfork tail, he has goat legs, he's the cloven-hoofed, pitchfork-wielding, red-skinned, horn king of hell, and quite possibly the founder of rap music." The only problem with all of these ideas is there isn't one speck of that in the Bible. Not anywhere. Not even the rap music part. The Bible doesn't give us a blow-by-blow of what the devil looks like, but it's not any of that. He's described as being a very beautiful being and as an angel of light. Because of Indiana Jones and The Last Crusade and the Da Vinci Code, many have come to embrace an idea that there is such a thing as the Holy Grail. Most people would swear that's in the Bible. It is widely believed that the cup Jesus drank during the Last Supper is the ultimate last treasure. If you watch some of the Indiana Jones, you will see that he believed drinking from the legendary cup would grant him eternal life and heal miscellaneous gunshot wounds. If you try to find the Holy Grail in the Bible, you could look for it until you're 200 years old and still never find it. Jesus is mentioned using a cup during the Last Supper. However, the cup itself was not treated as a sacred relic, nor was it whisked off to a museum for us to spectate at years in the future. Many people believe in all kinds of untrue things, which leads me to wonder this. Why, if people believe in all of these unreal things, why don't people believe in the most real thing in the world? And what is the most real thing in the world? It is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Each gospel in the New Testament records an account of the resurrected Christ. And here's one from John 20, 1 through 16 and 18. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and said, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him." So Peter and the other disciple started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and looked in at the strips of linen lying there, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter came along behind him and went straight into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the cloth that had been wrapped around Jesus' head. The cloth was still lying in its place, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciple, who reached the tomb first, also went inside. He saw and believed. They still did not understand from Scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to where they were staying. Now Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They have taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they have put him." At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize that it was Jesus. He asked her, "Woman, why are you crying? Who is it you are looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him." And Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned toward him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, "I have seen the Lord." There are ways to know whether or not the resurrection is real and not just a figment of our imaginations. For starters, Jesus appeared to over 500 witnesses. If any of these witness accounts were inaccurate or falsified, there would have been scads of people writing denials of their accounts. There would have been hundreds and hundreds of volumes written to impeach the testimony of these 500 eyewitnesses. The resurrection was well known in that place. It was widely spread, it was just everywhere. And for somebody to sit still and keep their mouth shut, if this thing was a lie, I guarantee you they would not have. I also guarantee you the Pharisees, if they had not believed Christ had risen, they would have blabbed it all over Israel. Secondly, the body of Jesus was wrapped in a linen cloth and placed in a solid rock tomb, after which a 2-ton stone was rolled against the tomb entrance. A Roman guard was stationed to guard the tomb. The guard affixed a Roman seal upon the tomb, and anyone who tried to remove the stone would have broken the seal. People feared breaking the Roman seal. To do so would have brought out the Roman crime unit, and they were good. They would have found you and crucified you upside down. From the gospel accounts, we know that none of Christ's disciples were that brave. The fact is, the stone had been moved away from the entire tomb. The stone wasn't moved just enough for Jesus to squeeze himself out. It wouldn't have taken just one disciple, but all of them, to move that stone. Now, how could 11 men tiptoe past the sleeping guards, roll a 2-ton stone several yards, all while grunting, sweating, and then manage to steal Jesus' body out that without waking up one of those guards? Thirdly, several renowned history professors from secular universities have written about the authenticity of the resurrection. Professor Thomas Arnold wrote this: "I know of no one fact in the history of mankind which is proved by better and fuller evidence of every sort to the understanding of a fair inquirer than the great sign which God has given us that Christ died and rose again from the dead." And yet another secular professor wrote, "Raking all the evidence together, it is not too much to say that there is no historic incident better or more variously supported than the resurrection of Christ." Fourthly, the most telling evidence of the resurrection is the transformation of the lives of the Christians who were living at the time. No way they were going to leave the comfort and safety of their homes to spread the gospel if the resurrection didn't really happen. They would have never risked their lives telling people about the resurrection if it was just a lie. Do you think maybe they got a good book deal or an interview on Joe Rogan? Do you think telling people that Jesus rose from the dead increased their social status and upped their reputation in the synagogue? No way. We know from reading the New Testament that quite the opposite was true. As a result of their efforts to spread the news that Jesus had risen, early Christians were beaten, stoned to death, thrown to lions, tortured, and crucified. Every torture you can think up, and some you can't, was used to shut them up. These Christians laid down their lives as ultimate proof of their total belief in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. In short, they believed it. Well, what difference does it make whether or not I believe Christ died on the cross, then rose from the grave? The answer is, it makes all the difference in the world. It is the difference between life and death, heaven and hell, forgiveness and unforgiveness. What about you? Do you find it easier to believe in fiction but not the resurrection? When I was a youth pastor, we used to love playing a game in youth group called Two Lies and a Truth. So the idea of the game is everybody would come up with two things that were not true and one thing that was. Then everyone else in the group had to guess which statement was true. You would win the game if no one could guess what statement about you was the truth. The idea was to make the lies and the truth as truthy sounding as possible. So I might say something like, A, I dye my hair. B, I'm farsighted in one eye and nearsighted in the other. Or C, I had a stuffed cat when I was little. Okay, which one is true? Who says A? I dye my hair. Yeah. Jim says I dye my hair. You know I don't, because the grays are showing, and I'm too lazy to dye my hair. Everybody knows that one's not true. How about B? I'm farsighted in one eye and nearsighted in the other. I got some takers. I got some takers. How about C? I had a stuffed cat when I was little. All right. So basically, that one is not true. I'm not a cat person. I'm not a stuffed animal person. I was a tomboy when I was a kid. So I am farsighted in one eye and nearsighted in the other. So if you guessed B, that is right. That is what I am. So that is true. We are still playing that game, whether we know it or not, in life. And just like in this game, we sort through hundreds of untruths every day. And we try to figure out what is the truth. Jim is going to pass out a little Easter egg for you. There are two lies about Christianity that go like this. There are many ways to heaven. And B, Jesus was just a good man, but only a man. Christianity makes the true statement. It is the statement that you should choose. And what is this true statement? It is written on the egg that you will receive. Jesus has risen. Believe it or not, Jesus rose from the dead. You can enter into a relationship with Jesus Christ right now, right this minute. What is stopping you? Release all of the things, all of the stones that stand in your way. Let Jesus roll that stone away from your heart and let him enter into your life. You don't have to say a bunch of fancy words. Just tell him now that you believe and you want him to be the Lord of your life. Let us pray. Lord, we just lift up each one who's come into the sanctuary today and each one who has joined us on Facebook. Lord, roll the stones of disbelief away from the doors of our hearts and enter in, Lord Jesus. Amen.